Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchens of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking the school food reform, farm boxes, and the Hot Five. Our live call-in number, if you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com live, is 718-497-2128. Last Thursday, the United States Senate passed the Hunger-Free Kids Act, aka monies for the National School Lunch Program. The next step is the U.S. Congress. In the studio to chat good, bad, and ugly of the bill is Aki and Ron Baker. Aki and Ron are the founders of Adopt a Farm Box Initiative. Welcome to Hot Grease, guys.
Thank you for having us.
So let's talk the features of the bill. I have to give a shout out to my folks at Brooklyn Food Coalition. Adriana Velez did a great job of summing up what's going on in terms of the Hunger-Free Kids Act that was passed on Thursday. Some of the features include there will be funding for school gardens and school sourcing. Schools meeting these new standards that they put in the bill will receive an increase of 6% per child. And the Department of Agriculture is now mandated to develop new nutrition standards for all foods sold in schools, including so-called competitive foods. And what they mean by competitive foods are vending foods and all that good stuff. So what are you guys' thoughts about some of the features?
Now, I think it's very interesting, and I think it's great that they are, you know, given chance for kids in public school to eat better by giving funding for, say, local sourcing of their ingredients, to fund school gardens, to especially I like this Department of Agriculture is mandated to develop nutrition standards. I think this is very important that there is a guideline for the schools to follow. But now what's even interesting for me is that they say this is a Hunger-Free Kids Act, but they are actually taking out some funding
from... Very interesting name,
Very interesting name and very interesting way to go about it.
Yeah, so what you're talking about, alluding to, is taking out... They're actually offsetting the SNAP program, which is also known as food stamps, to pay for this increase in school funding. So it hasn't passed. It's going to Congress now. So what people are encouraging everyday citizens to do is to call your congressperson and say, hey, yeah, we want you to support the school food reform bill, but don't cut food stamps and SNAP benefits for these same kids.
Basically, that's what I'm saying, that, you know, it's like 40 million people who's going to lose the food stamp benefit.
Exactly.
And those include kids who are in public school, of course.
So a few days before this bill was passed in the Senate, Michelle Obama actually did an op-ed in the Washington Post talking about her efforts at the White House in building a school garden. What are your thoughts about seeing the increase of school gardens around the country, from political leaders like Michelle Obama to schools in Bushwick or even in Bed-Stuy that are doing school gardens?
I think it's a great way to educate kids how to develop great or good eating habits. You know, we live in Brooklyn, and it's quite clear that there is a disconnect from you know, the food sources available to the rest of the country. And it's not just in Brooklyn, it's all throughout the country. There is an issue surrounding food and access to food. So I think the more attention this issue gets, the more open people are to really having this conversation about food. It affects all of us. And I think that it's a great place to start. And the more people that are talking about it, I think the more action we will get behind these conversations. So I do welcome, you know, the publicity or the heightened awareness around food.
I mean, school really is a place of education.
Totally, totally. And what I find very interesting is a lot of people just don't understand what's going on in terms of school and school food. Like, some schools don't allow, or kids don't have access to water if they don't want milk. And so one of the new features that maybe incorporated when it goes to Congress is mandating water to be available for students in the lunch line. I think it's absolutely crazy that kids can't get lunch in the lunch line.
Yeah, I think that Pepsi or Coca-Cola, whoever they are, would prefer to have, you know, their soft drinks. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, water is far better than any of these soda pops that is readily available. They are throughout the hallways. I think that they've made some changes in a lot of the public schools in terms of removing a lot of these vending machines out of the schools. But I do think that access to water is very basic.
It is very basic. And if you're in Brooklyn, or if you're listening somewhere else, you can easily Google Brooklyn Food Coalition and go to the School Food Action page, and you will see a breakdown of what the bill is all about. What are the next steps in terms of the bill going to Congress? Also, you'll see some links to some of the articles in the Washington Post, New York Times, The Hill, Politico, about school food reform, or more so the bill that passed the House on Thursday. Mm. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Aki and Ron, talk more about the farm box, adopt a farm box.
Yes.
So stick with us. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. We're talking connecting kids, schools, and good food. Aki Baker and Ron Baker are in the studio. They lead Adopt a Farm Box, a program that builds and donates farm boxes made from 100% recycled materials to local schools for the purpose of growing fruits and veggies.
Yes.
What exactly is Farm Box?
So Farm Box is a basically a plot of soil enclosed by recycled and reused material for the purpose of growing food and vegetables. But now that also comes with organic soil, seeds, also instruction on how to use the farm boxes and how to farm. And it depends on the schools and each school's needs, because we are saying grow something. So we want schools to kind of guide us in terms of how much they need, how much assistance they need from us.
So what is the typical size of the farm box?
There are no specific size. For example, we have about 6 schools that are scheduled for the farm boxes in September, and we have spaces that ranges from 1,000 square feet to 3,000 square feet. 45 square feet. So, you know, each school is very unique in terms of the gotcha. Amount of space that is available to them. So basically what we do, we go in, we would do takeoffs for the various spaces and build the boxes specific to those schools. So again, you know, there isn't a space that is too large or too small that we can't actually go in and make it work for the purpose of farming.
So Ron, you're actually into designing and rebuilding and redoing residents and businesses in New York City. Was that your inspiration behind the Farm Box project?
I've always wanted to utilize rooftops. We started out actually trying to get as many green roofs or green spaces above buildings for farming. That became somewhat cost prohibitive for a lot of buildings, as well as the structural integrity of the building. We couldn't actually do it. So the farm boxes actually came about through my frustration. I really wanted to do these green roofs, but I decided to scale it back to make it more accessible and affordable. So the way that we've packaged it, you really can't say no, because we try everything to make sure that these boxes do work based on space. So there are no limitations to the boxes in themselves. We make them work based on the size space availability.
So what schools or institutions are you guys that have farm boxes in Brooklyn?
Right now we have a CCM, Community Counseling and Mediation, Georgia's Place in Crown Heights.
Okay.
We are donated boxes for them this spring, and they have vegetables growing right there now, and we have 6 local schools for September.
Oh, okay.
4 in Brooklyn and 2 in Manhattan.
Oh, okay. So you're, okay, I was assuming, I made an assumption that you guys were only in Brooklyn, but you're doing stuff in the other boroughs.
That is correct. Well.
Yeah.
So what creative activities are schools, the one organization that you guys have a farm box at, what are they doing? And some of the 6 schools, do you know what their projects will be? Will they all just be growing? Are they connected to curriculum or...
Yeah, our hope is, of course, one, they have to grow something.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to grow something. And then we also facilitate workshops on health, nutrition, cooking, composting, you know.
So you guys, in addition to donating these farm boxes to schools, you come in afterwards and facilitate maybe a cooking workshop on the veggies. I didn't realize that you had that piece in.
We kind of have this overall approach, I guess we should say, because we think we can't just give something and say, here, work it.
Right.
We want to make sure, we really want this to work, and we want them to be able to utilize it. So for that, we decided, okay, so we need to probably give workshops depending on what the school needs. And also we write a guideline for inserting these ideas into their existing curriculum.
Gotcha.
Like math and science and literature.
So speaking of putting more and more boxes in schools and going into schools and doing workshops, you guys are doing the great thing. You have a Kickstarter.
Yes, we do.
Everyone is doing Kickstarter, and everyone is being successful at it. I haven't seen too many fails.
I think it's a great platform just to get the word out, just to get the community around, you know, what we're doing. So we feel this is a very important step in that direction, and it also, you know, it's a platform that really gets a lot of attention, and I think that, you know, that's what we're trying to do, to get people aware of the needs and the fact that all of us can play a role in curtailing a lot of these issues with our schools.
Please tell our listeners exactly what Kickstarter.com is.
So Kickstarter.com is an online fundraising mechanism where people can go in and browse what kind of projects are raising funds, and, you know, either you would back the project or you would watch the project grow. And we actually have a Kickstarter right now running until September 11th to raise, we are hoping to raise $10,000 or more.
Just to get it started.
So what do people need to do if they wanted to donate to your Kickstarter?
So the easiest way is for our listeners to go to farmboxes.org, and there's a link to our Kickstarter. And that's the simplest way to get to it.
So any advice for parents and teachers without access to Farm Boxes, or people who say, oh, I'm going to give $10 for their Kickstarter project, or $20 or whatever amount, but I live on the West Coast, I'm in LA. What can they do if they don't have a Farm Box?
They can start their own. I would say you can start a Farm Box. And basically, you know, I think one way to connect people is to give some of your time. You know, you might not have a Farm Box where you are, but you might have a community garden that you can actually go and share with your community about growing things, or get some education about growing things. So I think that there's always a way in which to connect with the larger community. And one way that I think that is the most effective way is just to see what's going on around you within your own community. If there's a garden that is there, a public garden, you can definitely participate in that. If you do wish to create a Farm Box, please give us a call or log on to our website. I'll be happy to guide you through the process. So we are also a resource, so people can definitely reach out to us.
And your Farm Boxes with an S .org.
Correct.
Yeah. ES.
ES.
Yeah.
And you guys are on, you're on other social media, right?
Yes, we are on Facebook and Twitter.
Very good, very good. Yeah. So, listeners, if you're listening, Kickstarter is the best. When you go on Kickstarter, check them out, and there are a whole bunch of other projects, but definitely give to farmbox.org. Aki, Ron, thank you for joining us on Hot Grease. You'll have to come back on and give us an update about the 6 schools in the fall and let us know what's going on with them. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having
Nicole.
Us.
Listeners, stay close. Up next, the Hot 5. I can't say, what should it be, my first, my last, my ending and beginning? Yeah, I write your name in my book, your last name, my first, I'm your business. Wait a minute.
Drop one in your pocket.
Okay, I got enough. This is cool. Hey, man, ain't you supposed to be at the talent show tonight?
I'm a grown man. I do what I want to do.
I don't know, man. I think you should go.
Bro, you ain't going?
No. Got better things to do.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is being sponsored by Whole Foods Market. I guess my favorite Whole Foods Market is the Bowery. I love that one. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of 2 sustainable shipping containers, also known as Heritage Radio Network. It's official. Cupcakes are not a fad or craze. They're here to stay. Hands down, the best of the best always rises to the top. And Hot Grease is beyond thrilled to have Robocelli.
Thank you very
cupcakes
much.
Doing today's Hot 5.
That was very sweet of you, Nicole.
And you got it right.
Yeah.
The Hot 5 is a rundown of 5 things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorite. Matt and Allison, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're going to be talking 5 of y'all's cupcakes. I've had the cupcakes. They're excellent. They're not like the, I won't call some of the other names, but the places that people stand in line for like 2 hours. You guys are way, way better.
Kind of like our goal was
you know, we used to make wedding cakes, and we were, pastry chefs in fancy schmancy restaurants, and we'd go out and have cupcakes and go, like, this just isn't, like, what we're looking for. Like, we know what good cake tastes like, but you can usually only get that, like, if someone's getting married or if you're really, really rich. So we're like, why can't people just take really good cake and make it small? So that was our thing. Like, we kind of started doing cupcakes by accident. We're like, okay, we just want to make something that we'll eat and that we'll enjoy.
So on your hot five, number five, we're going to...
Yeah, we're talking about... We have over 80 flavors, and we're talking about five of our favorites.
Okay.
Number five is the Car Bomb.
Named after the drink that got us engaged.
Yeah.
Oh, So what's in it? What's in the...
It's a Guinness cake with a Jameson ganache and a Bailey's Irish buttercream.
Wow. So who is the brand? Who comes up with all the flavors? Is it Matt or both of us?
It's, you know, back when Matt and I started dating, like, what attracted us to each other was we were pastry chefs, and we would talk about food constantly and come up with ideas for desserts. And the Car Bomb happened. I was a caterer, and I was working mornings, and Matt was the executive pastry chef at the Water Club, and it was restaurant week, and he was working nights, and we went like a whole week without seeing each other or talking at all, because we were just working, working. So it was our day off, and we met up at this bar, and Matt had a couple of Car Bombs, and he's like, I need to talk to you about something. I love you so much. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And we'd been dating for 6 weeks at this point, and I had a couple of Car Bombs. I'm like, yo, this sounds great.
Oh, my gosh.
So you wake up the next morning. This is hilarious. Yeah, we woke up the next morning, and I'm like, did I get engaged? But, like, you don't want to ask someone if you got engaged. That just doesn't seem cool. So I'm like, I'm just going to play this really cool and just see how it turns out.
And eventually I did get our ring.
Okay.
But we are five years later and still madly in love.
So number four, you just told me about the Car Bomb. So number four on the hot five
is the Iona. Iona is a pear olive oil cake with a Stilton blue cheese buttercream, port wine reduction, and candied walnuts. And I love that one because it was one of the first cupcakes we did, and it was the first time we really put ourselves out there on a ledge. Like, you know, as I said, we would sit down and talk about all sorts of dessert ideas and bad ideas back and forth. And we came up with that idea, and we're like, oh, it's too crazy. Nobody will ever eat it. No one will ever buy it. We don't know if we could do it. And then we just sat, we're like, you know what? Let's try it. And
so is that a popular one?
That is a very popular one. Whenever we do, actually, it's not in rotation in markets, but when we actually do put it out there.
Like the Red Hook Mercado, you'll have it, or for private events.
It sells.
It's insanely.
It sells quick.
When we had our store, we sold out of it, and that was kind of the turning point with us. We're like, okay, we can go more outside the box and do things that make us happy rather than say, okay, we have to do like chocolate and vanilla and caramel. So that was a big, big moment for us.
And so that's the Iona, number four. And number three on the hot five,
the Gaia, which I am stoked about because that's a cupcake that usually only it shows up maybe 2-3 weeks a year, and we're getting so close to that 2-3 weeks a year. This is my absolute favorite flavor out of 80 plus favorites.
So what's in the Gaia?
It is a fresh fig cake, and then we make a Greek yogurt and honey buttercream, and then we slice up a fresh fig and put it on top, and then drizzle thyme infused honey all over the top. We use only locally grown figs. We're from Diker Heights in Bay Ridge, and you know,
being by local, I mean like some like in my backyard.
Oh wow, you have a fig tree, man!
Yeah,
we have a fig tree, and then our friend has three.
Every Italian girl so knows at least 6 to 10 people with a fig tree in their backyard. So my girlfriend's got three trees, and last year she's like, I got all these figs, and I always take the figs because I love them; they're my favorite fruit. And I'm like, what do I do with them? I'm like, well, I got a store now, so let me start making cupcakes out of them. And they were just phenomenal. And I only use, like, the freshest of the fresh, the best stuff looking. So, you know, fig season, it's a couple of weeks long. That's the only time you can get it, and then you got to wait another year.
Actually, a couple of them are starting to turn now, so I'm getting kind of excited.
Yeah, fig season's starting a little earlier this year.
Okay, so you need to put me on the list early for that. Yeah. I'm not a big fig person, but if you're talking about a cupcake.
Yeah. No, keep up with us on Twitter, because God knows when the figs are ready, you're going to be hearing about it on our Twitter feed. It's going to be like a carnival, and they'll be at the Red Hook Mercado, and I'm going to do them till my supply runs out.
So number two.
Is possibly the most notorious, the chicken and waffles cupcake.
Chicken and waffles.
That is a waffle style cake with the vanilla buttercream.
What do you mean when you say waffle style cake?
Like, all right, most cake is, you know, sweet and fluffy. Like, we make it denser, we add, and richer, so we add more yolks to it.
Yeah, and then we whip up the egg whites, so you get a little bit of that fluff. Like, you get a little bit of a sugar crust on the top, but then the inside will be, like, kind of springy.
Gotcha.
Then it's a vanilla buttercream, and then we take a chicken. We let it soak for 48 hours in buttermilk, and then we fry it up. And then we coat it in Vermont maple syrup.
Yeah, so I had you guys' cupcakes at Red Hook Micarta.
Mm-hmm.
What did I have? We talked about what I had before.
You had the chocolate turtle. Your husband's had more than you.
Oh, your husband stops by a lot.
He comes by a lot. No, and I have to say this on air. You guys are the most generous people. We never met. And I sent out a tweet and said that I needed a hot plate for the grits takedown. And you were like, yeah, you had never used it, and I came by and picked it up. Thank you.
No problem. You know, that's that Brooklyn sense of community. You know? And, like, we really feel now, I mean, it used to just be contained to our neighborhood, but now with the Brooklyn food scene, I mean, I'm meeting people from all over Brooklyn and, like, new people coming in. That's just hospitality. You take care of your neighbors. You take care of your brothers, you know? So people need help. You could do something. You do it.
Yeah, so you, and that's essentially what Red Hook Mercado is. It's a community thing there. You're there with a bunch of other vendors.
Us, the people from Solbert Papooses and Country Boys, who are the Red Hook Ballfield vendors. And what's great is there's no lines. So, like, you can wait an hour and a half for Country Boys at the ball field, but you wait like 5 minutes at Mercado, and we're all like a big, big family.
Then we also opened up a consignment shop, La Tiendita.
That opened up this
weekend.
We
really need to start naming this stuff with my Spanish is horrible.
So what's up with, where's that?
That's right next to us. In the Red Hook Mercado. We wanted to bring out a lot of local artisans, but it's such a pain in the butt for everyone to go to a market and lug a table and pay the fee and sit out all day, and you never have the guarantee you're going to sell anything, like if the weather's
so
bad.
So this is you guys' project?
It's us with the people at Mercado. We wanted to give like local artists and food artisans and crafters a place to sell. On consignment, so you could drop your stuff off and we try to sell it for you. And so many people are coming down there to shop at Fairway anyway for groceries. We wanted a place where you could get like local like jam.
Okay,
desserts.
So I need to come by on Saturday. So the chicken and waffles, can you make me a special one for Saturday?
We're gonna
probably do it in October.
Yeah, chicken
and
waffles comes out about three times a year. I mean, again, we got over 80 flavors. I can't make 80 flavors a week, so we try to rotate them for special events. I mean, we do private orders of chicken and waffles. You want to call, order 2 dozen, I'll take them to your house. But
yeah, and I had some of your other stuff at Tech Munch.
Tech Munch, yes, that was a good time.
Yeah, so that was kind of that's. I mean, I see you guys popped up everywhere. You're in few spots in Williamsburg.
We're in Radish. Most of our spots are in Brooklyn. We're in one spot in Manhattan in Cake Shop. We're at Blue Apron Foods and 474 in Park Slope, home in Bay Ridge. Where else?
Market in Ditmas Park.
Pharmacy in Carroll Gardens. We'll be at Donna Divine Provisions in Borum Hill soon. Blue Apron Foods, which is like
we got a couple places in the city
world.
That we're in the talking to right now, so we'll be expanding. And then one place in Harlem that we need to really contact.
The biggest issue is like the company literally is me and Matt. We're married. We have a 3.5-year-old. We have a 2-year-old. We're baking, driving, doing everything ourselves. So you know, we get a lot of requests to be everywhere. We're as many places as we can physically.
Yeah,
be.
The cupcakes are really, really good. And one thing that I like about you guys is that every week you put your flavors on your website, so people know where you are and what flavors will be at the locations. I love that. Yeah. I think it's a brilliant idea.
And our Twitter feed is kind of like the lifeblood of our business. I mean, I talk to everybody on Twitter. I've become very good friends with a lot of our fans. If anybody ever wants to reach me or has ideas for a cupcake or questions, Twitter's the way to go. You know, and you
totally
can find out exactly where we're delivering, you know, recommend places to wholesale, et cetera, et cetera.
So you just gave us number
4, and we have up number 5.
Well, actually, we go down like the John Stewart show. So you gave us number two, which is the chicken and waffles. So number 1 on the Wuba Selly Cupcakes Hot 5, number 1 on the list,
is the Kiwanis. The Kiwanis is something we've only made
once
before. We made it when we had our store. We did it for our 1-year anniversary. The Kiwanis cake is a traditional Bensonhurst Italian cake you got for your christening, your communion, your wedding.
Wow.
Anytime you had a special occasion, you got this cake, usually from a place called Alba's on 70th and 18th. Now it's called Villa Bate. They still have the same cake. it's a cake, and it's filled, the center was filled with pastry cream and walnuts and bananas.
Oh,
and then they
God.
Cover it with a mocha buttercream, and then every like 2 inches there'd either be a chocolate covered cream puff or a chocolate covered strawberry. And when I was a kid, I'd always, you know, try to figure out if I want the strawberry or the cream puff, and then you'd seal them off the cake. But you knew if something special was happening, you had this. So we
made that into a cupcake. So everyone gets their own cream puff.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a vanilla cake, and I hollow it out, and I mix up bananas and roasted walnuts and fresh pastry cream, and you stuff it inside. Cover it with a mocha buttercream, and each one has a chocolate dipped strawberry and a chocolate dipped cream puff. And we, if you are following us on Twitter, if you look at our avatar, it's a picture of that cupcake.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's
oh, okay, cool.
Absolutely gorgeous. I did it once because it was such a pain in the butt to do. I don't know. Like
that, I believe, is a minimum of 4 dozen to order.
Wow.
Well, I got to make cream puffs, and you know, I got to make all this other special stuff, and it drives me completely bots. But
cool.
It's delicious. It's available for weddings. We might do it to close out the Red Hook Mercado this year, which is Halloween weekend. You know, it's a great celebration thing. It reminds me of just, you know, I had the best upbringing in the world growing up as an Italian in Diker Heights.
So number one, Kiwanis.
Kiwanis, the Kiwanis cake.
Matt and Allison, thank you dearly.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hitting us with the hot five on hot grease. I look forward to coming to Red Hook Mercado picking up some cupcakes.
Oh, we look forward to everyone coming down and hanging out with us because it's the only time we get to interact in person with everyone, and we love meeting our fans and our customers, and we love loving you.
Cool. Thank you. See you guys soon. Listeners, thank you again for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled. I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my